Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to this conference call on the Q4 and full year results we published quite early this morning. Sitting here with me are Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Rolf Dieter Schwalb, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board. They will elaborate on the results and after that answer your questions. As a reminder, I am obliged to tell you that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to direct you to our disclaimer about forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases, and I'm sure you will all do that. Now I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Feike Sijbesma. Feike, go ahead.
Thank you, Herman. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the 2012 fourth quarter and full year results. In the context of challenging macroeconomic conditions, DSM delivered growth across all clusters in 2012, excluding, of course, caprolactam. Nutrition now represents more than 70% of total EBITDA and has become a high-value global business with attractive growth prospects across the whole value chain. Despite ongoing global economic headwinds, we continue to deliver solid operational results in Q4, generating 243 million euro EBITDA, despite roughly 100 million euro lower contribution in Q4 from our caprolactam activities compared with Q4 2011. For the full year, our EBITDA amounted to 1,109 million euro, 14% lower compared with 2011. Our Life Sciences clusters showed a robust performance driven by Nutrition. Our Material Science clusters performed well, again, except for caprolactam, with an effect on Polymer Intermediates and also Engineering Plastics in Performance Materials. For 2012, we propose to increase the dividend for the third consecutive year from 1.45 euro to 1.50 euro. In 2012, we continued to make important progress in executing our strategy that we presented 2 years ago. We announced 8 acquisitions to strengthen our competencies and market positions along 3 strategic growth drivers: high growth economies, innovation, sustainability. Since 2010, we have invested about 2.8 billion euro in acquisitions, of which 2.4 billion in Nutrition, while applying a highly disciplined strategic and financial criteria for those acquisitions. As we have indicated before, no additional large acquisitions are to be expected in the coming period. We will now focus on the operational performance of our business and the integration and realization of the synergies from those acquisitions. As said before, with the acquisitions completed, we now have a more efficient balance sheet. Now for the outlook. The challenging macroeconomic environment experienced during Q4 2012 has continued into 2013. With low growth in Europe, Asia continues to show good levels of economic activity, while the U.S. has maintained a modest rate of recovery. The profit improvement program that was launched in August 2012 is fully on track and is expected to deliver structural annual EBITDA benefits of 150 million euro by 2014, of which more than half is expected in 2013, as all announced before. As anticipated, DSM has expanded now this profit improvement initiative and now expects to achieve another 50 million-100 million euro in benefits on top of the 150 million euro I was just mentioning. The benefits following this extension are expected to be fully achieved in 2015. Nutrition is expected to show clearly, when I go to the different clusters for the outlook in 2013, Nutrition is expected to show clearly higher results than in 2012 due to organic growth moving towards a target of 2% above GDP and acquisitions. Business conditions Pharma are likely to remain challenging, though DSM is confident of being able to deliver substantial better results, notwithstanding the usual uneven delivery patterns in Pharma between the different quarters. For Performance Materials, it's expected to show improved results in 2013, despite the expected negative effect of caprolactam, especially if you compare it with the first half year of 2012. Polymer Intermediates is expected to show lower results than in 2012. For the Innovation Center, the activity level will be in line with 2012, with EBITDA clearly improving following, of course, the contribution of CanTinesh, which we acquired last year. Overall, based on the current economic assumptions, DSM expects a step-up in EBITDA during 2013 due to stronger organic growth, supported by DSM profit improvement program, and as the benefits of the acquisitions and a more resilient portfolio start to have impact. In 2013, the focus will be on the operational performance and integration of the acquisitions DSM completed in 2012, with special attention of capturing the synergies. Overall, based on the current economic assumptions, the above will enable DSM to move towards its 2013 EBITDA target of 1.4 billion. Now, before I open the lines for questions, I would like to add that significant strategic progress made during 2012 through our value-creating acquisitions and the profit improvement initiatives, which we have taken, leaves us well-positioned to achieve our long-term objectives. In 2013, we will focus again on operational performance and the integration of the acquisition we completed last year and capturing the synergies. Again, we expect a strong EBITDA growth in 2013, moving towards this 1.4 billion, and our proposal to increase the dividend for the third consecutive year is a testament to stronger DSM, which we have built in the recent years with more stable growth and profitability going forward. I would like to open the lines for questions. Operator.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll start the question and answer session now. To be registered for the question and answer queue, please press star one at any time, and if you're on speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. Star one for your questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. Today's first question is from Meike Noordhuis, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Yes, good morning. I was just wondering, we talked about this in the third quarter, that you're looking for ways to reduce exposure in the caprolactam business. I was wondering if you've made any progress on that subject. I also was wondering, you seem a bit cautious on your target while you got synergies kicking in and cost savings this year. I would have thought it would be quite easy to reach the target. Is this just because of European economic woes, or what's going on?
I think regarding caprolactam, we have said indeed that we see that we have an exposure of caprolactam to the free market, to the merchant market. Caprolactam will always remain a volatile cyclical product as it was in the last years, and we have seen that especially with the movements in 2011, 2012, how at once it can go up and go down. We said we would like to reduce that exposure to the merchant market, and we are working on that. If there's something to announce, we will do. There's nothing to announce right now, but we are working on those options.
Are you talking to anyone, to parties on this, or?
Yeah, we have said in last quarter also, you can think about type of deals which we did before in the United States, and we are exploring opportunities. Whether we are talking already to people, I would not announce anything, but we are looking to all kinds of options there.
Okay.
Regarding the targets, yeah, I think we remain on what we said before. We've said before in the last quarters, we expect in 2013 to move towards this 1.4 billion, and we stick to that. I don't see deviation of earlier things. Looking also to my CFO who sits next to me, and you call it easy to achieve, that I don't know. There's quite a step up if I see 2011, 2012, 2013, which as we indicated, improved results in nutrition, improved results in pharma, improved results in performance materials, and of course, caprolactam is a different situation. Wolf, did you have something to add?
No, maybe on the last one. Look, we have 1.1 billion EBITDA last year. We also say caprolactam will be worse this year than last year. To reach the 1.4 or towards the 1.4, this is a step up I wish you good luck to find any other company which will announce this year to increase profitability by about 30%.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, for any additional questions, please press star 1. So star 1, go ahead, please. The next question is from Andrew Noel, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just to go back to the first question, is there really no difference in terms of what you were saying before regarding the target? Because moving towards tells me, I mean, we wrote a story the last time around saying that it was going to come, you were expecting to come in at the bottom end of the range, and now moving towards just implies to me that you're falling short.
No, very short. No, there is no deviation, and if you look through the press releases before, you're seeing in Q3 also that we said moving towards 1.4 billion. So there's no change.
Right. What's the chances that, I mean, are you're leaving the door open that it might fall short of that amount, right? I mean, that's what I should read into it.
No, you should not read falling short. You should read moving towards. Like Rolf Dieter said, we end up this year with 1,100. And taking into account that Cape Lactam in the first half year of 2012 was better than in the second half year of 2012, conditions we have today. Then it is quite a step up which we are predicting here.
And sorry to go on and on, but why wouldn't you have just said that you'll come in at the low end?
I would just repeat what you said before, Rolf Dieter.
This is about wording. I mean, we have said Q3 report moving towards, and we just repeat the same statement. And and that's despite that the caprolactam business worsened in the last half year significantly.
Right.
I think this is an ambitious target.
Yeah, no, it's wording, and I'm sure there'd be others poring over the wording too. But can I ask a question about the Omega 3? The acquisitions that you've made, when you bought the businesses, they obviously provided an outlook. And are those businesses still performing exactly to the outlook that the sellers provided? I hope that's clear. I mean, are they performing as per they were supposed to?
Yeah, they are performing as they're supposed to. We focus on what we always call the buyer's case and not the seller's case. Conditions and the assumptions under which we bought their businesses and which we announced externally about growth profile and synergies, etc. And compared with what we said before, both Imartec and Ocean Nutrition, so all the polyunsaturated fatty acids are doing as we expected.
I mean, the reason why I ask is that I know there's some pressure on fish oil prices, and I mean, I think they peaked what, in 2011, but they're coming back up now. And perhaps you could comment also on how you're coming along with the possibility of getting into pharma grade omega-3, and how Ocean Nutrition fits into that.
Andrew, if you look at the numbers which we published in the press release, Ocean Nutrition delivered 36 million sales in Q4 and 11 million EBITDA, which is roughly 30% EBITDA margin, which is exactly in line with what we announced earlier and above the average nutrition margin.
And how does in terms of the pharma and the Martech side of omega-3, because that's not based on fish oil, is it? That's more, is that algae based omega-3?
Yeah.
I mean, what about your expansion into pharma grade and also the whole infant formula side? Lovato's coming off patent this year. That's why I ask. I mean, how quickly are you moving into that area?
We have a very full range of omega-3 fatty acids, And like you said, we have via Martek, we have the algae-based products, and via Ocean Nutrition, we have the fish oil-based products. So a pretty wide range. We sell the products for infant formula, very important, but also for beverages, other food products like margarines and all that stuff. That is our dietary supplements. So those three are our main markets, dietary supplements, infant formula, and other food products like margarines, etc. Now, to sell it for pharmaceutical applications is not an area where we're very active in at this moment. Whether we will ever will be, I follow and know, of course, the patent situations there. We need to see, but there is no announcements right now. Our main focus is on the markets I just said.
Okay. And
hey, Andy, sorry to interrupt, but can we just make a round with the others and then see still a place for you?
Sure.
Thanks.
The next question is from Edwin van der Schoof, De Telegraaf. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'll keep it short. Two questions. First one, a short follow-up on Mike's question. Am I correct that you're contemplating something like a joint venture structure to put the caprolactam business a little bit out of the cyclical part of the numbers of DSM? The second question is, a lot has been said about shale gas and shale oil lately. You've got a lot of businesses in the US and in Europe. DSM is, of course, a company which I'd say is more of a durable company than some of the oil and gas businesses. But could either of you comment on the fact that Europe is kind of missing the boat in the department of the energy bill that the industry has to pay if you compare it to the US?
Yeah, now first, caprolactam, once again, don't put words in our mouths and take our words which come out of our mouths. And what we said on caprolactam is we see that we have exposure to the merger market and that it is a volatile business, and we look for options to reduce that exposure to the merger market. And there are several ways via which you could do that. And we hinted before that there are several ways you can make contracts, you can do all kinds of deals, and we are exploring what kind of options would be the best of DSM. That's the situation. It's not different, so let's not anticipate on which option or solution it could be. This is what we said, and I would like to stick to that. On the energy situation, indeed, the United States is developing a very competitive energy situation, which our activities in the United States obviously benefit from, and we have acquired quite some companies in the United States, and we have a more stronger position in the U.S. than ever before. So, yeah, there we benefit from that. If you compare Europe and the United States, I think it's a fair point you make. We need to watch very carefully in Europe our energy situation. From my angle, in two perspectives, one is availability. I mean, can we have access? Because we will be a net importer, where the United States in 2016 will be a net exporter. And that has effects on pricing. If you see the United States, they have not only the natural gas situation, but also the whole situation which we are investing in biofuels, which is an attractive development as well. And if you look to Europe, indeed, the natural gas situation is completely different. Shale gas is not existing. Biofuels are hardly existing. You know the situation around nuclear, etc. So, the United States has a much more competitive situation in energy than Europe. And it is absolutely an area to give attention towards for Europe.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Peter Bruins, Dagblad de Limburger. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Could you please elaborate more on the profit improvement program and especially the expansion of it? How many jobs will be involved?
Okay, Wolf Dieter.
We announced the profit improvement program first in August last year with an objective to achieve 150 million by 2014. And when we announced that, we already said that we were looking for potential to expand it or increase the targets. Now, that's what we are doing now with 50 to 100 million. This is a program which goes across the whole company, across the whole world, all geographies. In some cases of projects which we already included in our 2012 announcement, the what we now see is that they can achieve more. So that is part of the increase. Also, a few smaller initiatives here and there have been started now, but it's nothing of, and it's not only cost reduction, by the way. It is cost reduction and pricing and margins, also cost reductions in the non-people area. So it's not only about headcount. We had that headcount announcement that we would reduce roughly by 1,000 people, which we said in August. That might slightly increase here and there around the world, but there's no new number which we, I think, can announce today which is of any big relevance.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Bart Koster, Dow Jones. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Sijbersma just said something about the biofuel availability. Can you elaborate a bit more on the development of the biofuel and also the biomedical products and concepts?
Yeah. As you know, we have put quite some effort into the whole development of biofuels, and we have a unique position with our enzymes and yeast systems there. We have a collaboration in the United States with POET, and we are building a new factory as we speak, which comes on stream at the end of 2013, beginning 2014. And we will be one of the first ones with a large-scale cellulosic-based, so that means we start from residues from plants, so not the food component, but the residues from plant, and make fuels out of that. And the United States is very much stimulating this. If you look to the policy of the United States, they are in fact, with the obliged mixing policy they have announced, they are stimulating that another 200 to 300 of those factories need to be built in the United States, and we will be one of the first with those factories, but a lot of new factories have to come afterwards, and one factory costs roughly $250 million. And we hope to be, after we have erected the factory end of 2013, beginning 2014, to be able to also give licenses to other people who want to expand on this. The second country who is embarking on all of this is Brazil, and I have to draw the conclusion that Europe is still lagging behind in this. The only thing we do in Europe is biodiesel. We are not active in that, but there is some biodiesel activities in Europe. Not always very competitive, to be honest, and that is in fact the only activity. So Europe is clearly lagging behind United States in this field, and you see that our activities are mainly focused on the United States.
Okay,
Biomedical, the second emerging business area. There, of course, we made a major step forward last year with the acquisition of Kensinesh, which is now being integrated, and we use, of course, their development power and R&D to with biomedical to become a real business. I mean, on an annualized basis, if you take what Kensinesh already delivered in the half year where it was in the company, and you see here the biomedical already will be something like 130, 140 million euro. So it's becoming a real interesting size of the business now.
Okay, going back to the biofuel, the plant you are opening in for production in the United States and 2013 start 2014. Can you say something more about actual contracts for customers you have already, or is that still too early to say something about it?
No, that's still too early, but we will have a factory of around 20-25 million gallons, so that's around 75 million liters, and we are not concerned at all that we can sell it all, because if you look to the policy so-called RFS policy of the United States government that is working, in fact, with a mixing stimulants for people who buy and process fuels. So, and the standards, as they have said, they can absorb multiple numbers of factories, and only a few factories are being built now, which we will be one of the first. So those factories, I think, will be fully sold out.
Thank you.
Time for one last small question.
For any additional questions, please press star 1. So star 1, go ahead, please. Well, no further questions, gentlemen, at the moment.
All right, then I thank you all for participating in our conference call. If you have any further questions or need more information, then you know where to find us. And with that, we close this call.